So Brad Hayes, a professor at Union College, a PhD in government politics from the University of Maryland, but much more important, the man we like to call our scholar in residence right here at WAMC. So I guess the first thing I want to tell you is that the New York Post has published pictures of Melania Trump in the altogether nude. Now, I don't wish to get into this kind of thing because it's salacious or for any other reason, except that the evangelical community has criticized Michelle Obama for wearing a sleeveless dress. And here is the potential first lady in several very salacious poses. What does that do to a guy like Trump?
I don't think it does much. I mean, I think a lot of this is kind of the noise of the convention, right? That these things are fairly easily dismissed. And you know, it can actually very much backfire if it's kind of viewed as something that's coming from the opposition. So, for example, if the Democratic Party had released it in some ways.
Yeah, but we're talking about the New York Post.
Yeah, no. But maybe it's more revealing in the ways in which there are significant fractures within the Republican Party that Trump has not fully healed. I mean, One of the points of having these conventions is to bring the party together. But it's very unclear whether Trump has been able to kind of expand his coalition in any kinds of ways to bring in people that he otherwise would not, including kind of, establishment figures that continue to push back against his candidacy, even if they've been, I think they've been fairly muted in doing so of late. But, you know, this might suggest some kind of other tactic.
Well, Professor, I still don't get it. Here is this lady in the altogether, and the New York Post, definitely not a Democratic newspaper. My point is about the evangelical support for Trump. So does this mean that no matter what happens, including semi-pornographic pictures of his wife, do you think that it means nothing whatever? Nobody can ever change these people, even though the evidence is pretty clear?
I think going back some time, the religious right has wedded themselves to the Republican Party.
No matter what.
And, you know, there was a lot of discussion about this in the last presidential election. There were kind of deep theological divides between Mormons and evangelicals. And, you know, would they rally to Romney? And they did. Was this their candidate? No, but the voting was there. And so my sense of the universe is that this doesn't move the needle a lot. Now, let's focus in on the a lot part. I mean, in other words, I don't expect a wave of evangelical support to gravitate towards Hillary Clinton. But we do get to a certain point at, you know, we want to look at things like excitement in the electorate, because that affects mobilization and turnout. And the degree to which some of these things can kind of demobilize portions of the electorate, it can have profound effects on the national election, because we know that the margins are often so tight in presidential elections. We're talking about a handful of percentage points in terms of the national vote, and certain states are going to be even closer than that, or at least they're polling that way. So, I think that these things certainly can hurt. And moreover, one of the things that, the political scientists have kind of revealed over time by studying kind of negative campaigns where the tone is bad, where, we have discussions of salacious matters rather than substantive matters, is that it demobilizes. People turn out at lower rates when, in fact, the tone of the election is perceived as negative. So,
but don't you think, I'm sorry, Professor, but don't you think that we are talking about a very close election potentially, and that in a close election, people tend to turn out?
That's true. They do. We'll see. I think I'm not really sure what this kind of an effect is. I mean, one of the things that we also want to keep in mind is where evangelical voters are largely packed. Right. I mean, they tend to be in many states that are less competitive. We might see, an effect in places like maybe North Carolina. You could see some in, Colorado or something along those lines. In terms of the states that they might be affected, they might largely be red states anyway. So in that sense, there may not be real cost to Donald Trump. I mean, one of the interesting things about the kind of the polling information, things that people like me get pretty excited about, is this weird thing that's going on in the polls that while Donald Trump seems to be holding most deeply conservative states, the numbers of support are much lower than, say, they were for Romney among Republicans. I don't know exactly what that means, but it might pick up to some of your points about, you know, how do evangelical voters perceive somebody like Donald Trump, somebody with this background, somebody that isn't one of their candidates. It may be that support is lower. And so that while that may not turn, you know, Mississippi into a blue state, what it might do is affect something like North Carolina, where, you know, a handful of evangelicals staying home might actually help move that state into the Clinton camp. So let me
stop you and say that this is fascinating. I just want to know something. Based on your analysis, is it possible that Trump is going to win this election?
You know, it's possible. You know, first off, we have, 90-something days left until the general election. And it's sufficiently close now that it is possible for Donald Trump to win. I am a big political landscape person. In other words, I think the terrain on which you play the game really matters. And that terrain favors the Democratic candidate right now.
Why is that?
There are a handful of reasons. One, the demographics that turn out for presidential elections tend to favor the Democratic candidate. The degree to which the electoral districts are skewed, right? We can talk about the kind of the skewing of electoral districts in House races. We can also talk about that in terms of the Senate, in terms of, you know, packing things into states. But it's more of a wash, right? In other words, that the person that tends to win the popular vote in presidential elections tends to win the election despite the Electoral College. So what that suggests is that, you know, the person who gets the most votes tends to win. That's the Democratic candidate right now. If you look at the swing states, just in terms of the polling, and polling right now we should view with a certain amount of skepticism.
Pennsylvania, Florida, Ohio.
Yeah. Hillary Clinton is doing well in almost all swing states. Not that she has them locked up by any stretch of the imagination, but she has a slight advantage in almost every swing state right now. And so that means that Trump's got to turn most of those, right? In terms of their pattern, and we talk about the importance of Pennsylvania in this particular election, well, we talk about it sometimes like it's a swing state, but it hasn't swung in a long time, right? Yeah. Since 1988. And so, you know, it's one of those things that it's just going to be really difficult for Donald Trump, given that he has few pathways to success. And you can like layer on that things like Tim Kaine being from Virginia, potentially giving a small boost, but a small boost will matter for the Clinton campaign in a really tight election. So if you kind of say that, okay, well, maybe Virginia is going to be off the table, then that reduces the pathway for Trump's success in, you know, yet another way. So it's going to be just really, really difficult for the Trump campaign to navigate.
We always love having Brad Hayes, Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College and a very bright man, and the man we like to call Scholar in Residence right here at WAMC. Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you.